And we're joined on the phone by Lois Sin Lindquist. She is the Executive Director of Minnesota Waters. Hello, Lois.
Hello, and what's not to like about Willie? Friday the 13th.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Minnesota Waters is?
Oh, I'd love to. Minnesota Waters is a nonprofit 501c3 membership organization that has membership across the entire state of Minnesota. Its primary objective, of course, is to get our citizens engaged in protecting and restoring Minnesota's assets, that being our clean and healthy lakes and streams. We have members that come through lake associations, through river associations, but also as independent members, individuals. We have just under 30,000 members, as far as we can count. They come in big groups sometimes.
Wow, that's a big organization.
It is.
I also noticed on your website that one of the organizations that kind of works through Minnesota Waters is the Coalition of Lake Associations, COLA.
Yeah.
And we have many lake associations in Cook County up and down the Gunflint Trail and around, and they must work with you too.
Yes, and you've got some pretty neat people up there. I could call one out being Biz Clark.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have some very, very highfalutin, active people who are amazing the amount of things that they get done in a day.
Absolutely.
But that's what it takes to get things done in the world. But one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about tonight is invasive species and some of the issues that go with that and how to prevent that. The two things, or two parts to that, are that individuals obviously need to know about it and need to know what they can do to prevent it, but there's also a commercial aspect to that program now, too, with the new laws that have gone into effect. What are some of the invasive species that people need to be thinking about when we're talking about aquatic invasive species?
Well, invasive species for Minnesota are both plants and animals. So some of those that you've heard about from the plant side would be Eurasian milfoil. You've heard about that, I'd certain.
Oh, yes, down, especially down in the Twin Cities.
Yes, exactly. And then up in your territory, you might have heard of and may have spiny water fleas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then between, not quite there, and the thing you want to keep away from your lakes and rivers are the zebra mussels and the coming quagga mussels.
Yes.
And then there are also, just a couple more to mention, there are a number of snails that are also invasive species, and they pretty much take over the native snail group, if you will, and there's one called the faucet snail that actually kills our ducks. Last year, I think we lost over 200,000 ducks in the state of Minnesota.
Wow.
Yep. They carry a parasitic trematode that the ducks eat the snail and pretty much get mighty sick and die.
Right.
Sad news. But it's the zebra and quagga mussels that are sort of the poster child right now, as well as Asian carp.
Yeah, well, we really don't want to have to deal with Asian carp up here. Obviously, people who live along the North Shore and have a connection to Lake Superior have seen what invasive species can do. The sea lamprey, of course, was a huge example of how much damage can be done by an invasive species that gets into an ecosystem. So we don't have to do a whole lot of explaining on why we need to think about this. But how do these things get spread around?
Well, unfortunately, they actually get spread around by us, by probably everything that we play with in the water or use in our work and our play, transporting them, whether it's on a boat or on a trailer, on a pump for an irrigation system, dock, lift, name anything that could carry any repository of water. There's some interesting characteristics of the zebra mussels. When you finally can see them and call them a zebra mussel, that's probably almost too late.
Right, by the time you can actually see them on the docks.
Right, right. You've heard that they have an invisible stage when they're right after gestation, their first stage is called a veliger, and they hitchhike along invisibly, just floating with the water, wherever the water flows, and so it can flow into your live wells, into anything within your boat or your pontoon or your trailer, your bait bucket, get transported along with wherever that water is going next, and it just might go from an infested water to an uninfested water.
Sure. Now I think Lois is with us. All right, there she is.
Yes.
Okay. We were just beginning to talk about how invasive species get transferred around, and we talked about that they get moved on people's docks and people's boats. So I guess one of the things that we need to talk about is how do we prevent that from happening?
Right. Everyone needs to become more aware and tell your neighbors and tell a stranger at the boat access as well. We just have to share the news. And also be mindful that as you leave any water that you have to drain, regardless what the equipment is, you have to drain it, whether it's a boat or a jet ski or a bait bucket. The law now is you have to drain that toy of every single bit of water before you transport across the lake. And you have to across the road, I'm sorry. And you also have to leave your drain plug out. All these are relatively new laws. They'll be a little clunky to get used to, but we can do it.
Sure. And really, those things aren't particularly difficult. I mean, most people are taking the drain plug out of their boat anyway. Are there other things that people should be doing just as a matter of course, cleaning, maintenance, whatever?
Well, the best thing that one can do, and one probably doesn't have the capability at your own home or your cabin, that's why some of the professionals are engaged, but that is called decontamination with hot water.
Mm-hmm.
140 degrees will kill all the zebra mussels and those veligers, those little invisible creatures, the babies of the zebra mussels.
Sure.
140 degree wash, 10 seconds passing over that hot water will kill them.
So you'd have to use a high temperature pressure washer to accomplish that.
Yes. And actually, it's the water that kills them, and the pressure washer is only the thing that gets rid of the debris or the residue that's behind.
Sure.
So it could even be just hot water out of some kind of diffused tube.
So short of that, are there other methods that people can use to essentially decontaminate?
Yes, drying. And no one, I think, in Minnesota is going to be patient enough for this. But nonetheless, if you can't wash your toy with 140-degree water,
mm-hmm.
then the suggestion is that you must let it sit and dry for 21 days.
And that's for zebra mussels.
That's for zebra mussels, yeah.
Sure.
And for the macrophytes, the plants, the invasive plants, those merely just get them all off of your boat trailers and your launches, any launching equipment, and off your boats, off your jet skis. Make sure you just clean off every single particle of the plants because it's the smallest piece that will re-root, and then you're in trouble again.
Sure. So one of the things that we talked about before we did the interview was that you have known one of the other hosts from this show, Bob Carter.
Yes.
And I was trying to personalize the whole thing, and Bob likes to fish, and he goes different places. So when Bob takes his boat out of Lake Superior in the bay here, and he's been out lake trout fishing, and then he decides he's going to go walleye fishing somewhere, he's got to either clean his boat really, really well, or he's got to let it sit and dry for 21 days before he does that.
Right, and I know Bob, he's not going to want to let his boat sit for 21 days, right?
I was going to say that, but I'm glad you did. No, Bob's not going to want to do that. But,
no.
But, you know, there's a bit of responsibility, and one of the things that people need to understand, I think, and hopefully you'll agree with this, that it's what we all do together that's going to make all that work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it is, as Bob leaves the lake and he heads over to Hungry Jack, what he needs to do before he leaves the lake is clean off his boat and his trailer completely and leave the drain plug out and also clean out his live well,
mm-hmm.
and change the water in his bait bucket. All right, so he has to leave that water behind as well, and hopefully he's going to use the old grandpa's method of the old Hilux bottle or the gallon jug left over from milk or whatever.
Yeah.
Fill it up with water from the cabin. Make sure you have that along with you in your truck, your rig, whatever you're going to pull your boat with, and switch out the water at that point.
So that's what the average everyday person's going to do, and what we're hoping residents of Cook County will start doing with their boats, because we don't want to have things spread. I actually should mention, I was looking at the list on the DNR website of invasive species in Cook County already, and spiny water flea is already in a number of lakes up the Gunflint Trail, and also Caribou Lake, McFarland, John Lake, Saginaw at the end of the trail, Flower Lake. All those lakes flow into other parts of the boundary water, so it's really only a matter of time until spiny water flea makes its way just through water movement once it's gotten into a lake.
That's right. And the tricky thing about spiny water fleas is that you can wash them off your boat just as you can any of the zebra mussel or any of the plants. You can wash those off and make sure your boat gets dried out. You know, it might be that 21-day piece again. I'm not certain about that. The dangerous thing about spiny water fleas is their eggs are absolutely resilient to anything, unlike all the other invasive species which will die over freezing over winter or die with heat or die being dried out. The eggs of the spiny water flea are incredibly resilient, and so some of them will survive. I don't know if they'll survive a winter, but they will survive getting dried out. And also, to get them washed off your boat and on dry land is a good thing.
Sure. Well, yeah, you got to do the best you can do and hope that it's enough.
Yep.
The other part of the invasive species program that Minnesota Waters is involved in right now is the commercial aspect, and there's training sessions that are being held all over the state of Minnesota. There was one up at Gunflint Lodge just a couple of weeks ago, but I think a lot of people in the area didn't know about it or misunderstood whether they need to be part of that or not. And I just found out today, I don't even know if you know this, Lois, but I just found out today that there will be another session in Grand Marais on May 3rd.
I do know that because I'm scheduled to do that training.
Oh, good. Well,
I'll be there.
We'll have to make sure that Bob is around so that we can get him to come too, even though he's not a commercial operator.
Well, he might reconsider.
No, I don't think so. I think Bob's plenty busy with other things that he does, and he doesn't want to add other responsibilities. But I wanted to say thank you for working in that extra session for the schedule because... I know that there were a number of people that didn't make it for various reasons and really were not looking forward to driving all the way to Minneapolis or Aiken or Duluth or wherever to do that session. So thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. And let's remind everyone that the LSP, it's called Lake Service Provider Training, will be at the Cook County Community Center from 9:30 to 12:30 on May 3rd.
All right. 9:30 to... Go ahead.
And you can pre-register, but you do not have to. Just show up, and we'll make sure we have materials enough. We'll be ready to accommodate at least 100 people, so I suspect that we will have enough materials.
Well, that'll be great. Well, I'm sure you're going to get, well, maybe not 100, but pretty close to that. There's, when I think about all the people that didn't make it to the first one, there will be a substantial number of people there.
Yep.
I wanted to just ask you if there's anything else that you need to that you feel you need to pass on to our listening audience that they should know about invasive species or Minnesota waters in general.
Well, something in between that, if I can just talk about the commercial side of the world.
Certainly, you bet.
And there's a couple steps that every lake service provider must go through to get this mandatory permit that just came about because of the 2011 legislation.
Yes.
So it is attending in person the training if you're the owner of the business. If you work for the business that's providing any kind of lake service, you do not need to attend the training in person. You can take the training online at the DNR site. Okay? So the owner of the business or the senior manager in charge of all that commercial side of the business, he or she is the one that should be in person in the training session, probably on the 3rd of May. And in addition to that, they will take an exam during the course, and we will collect those exams at the end of the course. So they can't mail it in. They can't take it home or whatever. But it's pretty tied into what we learned during the course. So most people, I would say everyone's going to pass it. So they must attend the training. They must pass the exam. They must then get online and fill out the application on the DNR website and then pay a $50 permit fee, which is good for 3 years. And when they're going through that application, this will be important in your area. Some of your people may have a business where they want to take that water equipment off of the launch and take it to their shop or to their warehouse and work on it. And if that's the case, they can travel across the roadway and transport some AIS, some water in that water-related equipment, mm-hmm. As long as they have the permit. And with the permit, they've designated on the application we're calling them decontamination stations, so where their shop is, where their decontamination shop is.
Sure.
Pretty easy, and they'll have a sticker in their window. So if you are a lakeshore player and you have someone doing that work for you, double check that they have a permit sticker in their window. Of course, the conservation officers from the DNR will come out and do the same. But we have a little bit over 600 businesses that have now been through the training. And that's good. And over 1,000 people, workers, have taken the test online. And the workers need to go through the training online, take the test. They do not need to pay a fee. Their certificate will also be good for 3 years. So a permittee holds the permit, and the workers will have a certificate.
Excellent.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much, and I am glad that we were able to do this so that we can get the information out to people and have some time to plan ahead. One thing I want to clarify on is there are some very specific rules about who this applies to and who it does not. Basically, what it comes down to is if you get paid to put a boat in the water or any kind of aquatic equipment, you have to take this training, whether it's a boat or a dock or a bait bucket. All those things have to go.
Right you are.
But anyway, thank you very much, Lois, and we'll probably try and talk to you again another time and see how all this is going and maybe get an update on the state of the invasive species.
That's great, David. Thanks a lot for your time, and say hi to Bob.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.